International cases, you do not necessarily get compensated on the basis of your hourly rate. One thing which you should know for jams is that if you take a non-jams case, if it is being administered by another provider organization and that provider organization communicates with, bills the parties, and administers the case, JAMS will not charge a case management fee. You still have to pay on the back end, you know, the based on the percentage of your based on the amount of revenue, there's a percentage which JAMS takes. That is always there. What I'm talking about is the case management fee, which is an extra 12% in arbitrations, which go on all arbitrations with respect to JAMS, but do not get added to arbitrations which are being administered by other provider organizations. There are such things known as ad hoc arbitrations or non-administered arbitrations or arbitrations under the CPR non-administered arbitration rules. When you get one of those, be careful to add about 12%, maybe 10% to be rounded off, but quote a higher fee because JAMS will take the case management fee off of your billings if it's an ad hoc case. So if you're doing a CPR case and you bill, let's say your rate is $700 an hour, if I were you, I would quote a rate, you know, if you're asked the rate, you would be quoting something like $775, which will bring you down to your actual rate after JAMS takes their 12%. That's only on ad hoc cases. So when you get the call, well, let me tell you the next part, and then I'll tell you about when you get the call. The next part is the ICC, which is an ad valorem system. You get paid in accordance with the amount in controversy. The same case, the same promissory note, simple case, can pay you very little or can pay you a lot, depending on how much of the note is. So what you have to do is there is, if you go on the ICC website, if you go on that website, you'll find something called a calculator, all right? Now, someone calls you up and they say, Mr. Norton, we would like to appoint you as our party-appointed arbitrator in an ICC case. These are the parties. These are the counsel. Do you see any conflict? Are you available to serve? Answer, tell me more about the case. How much is in controversy? Because one of the worst things you can do, and some people get caught in this still, is you got a $1 million case. And when you go on the calculator, and let's say there are three arbitrators, you're going to get, what, $25,000 or $20,000 or something, if that, for this work, which can be an enormous amount of work, and you will wind up with that amount of money. And that's all. So in order to understand whether or not this is worth your while economically to accept it, you should always ask, you know, as discreetly as you can, how much in controversy. Sophisticated counsel will tell you that before they call, but or during the call. When there is no provider organization administering the case, CPR non-administered rules are the only ones that have a provider organization sort of designated like CPR. The others just say, and a lot of this is in maritime, or a lot of this, sometimes insurance, sometimes construction, is you'll find a, you know, the arbitration agreement will simply say, you know, this is to be arbitrated in Houston, Texas, before a panel of three arbitrators, one selected, the other select, side selects, the two selects a third. And if you can't agree on the third, the chief judge of the Supreme Court of Texas will appoint. And that's all it'll say. And once if there's no provider organization mentioned, that's in ad hoc case. If you look at the tabs that are labeled 2.1 through 2.6, these are just arbitration clauses that we put together to to give you an idea of what these clauses generally recite, and you're going to mention something?
I was just going to say that the ICC system with the payment based on the amount of controversy sometimes encourages the parties, the claimants, to structure their claims in various ways. And I've had several where there have been disputes over companies worth tens of millions of dollars, and an award would be issued that would affect control of the entire company. But the claimant has structured it in a way that kept the amount of the claim down to a small amount of money. Long-term supply contracts, where the amount in controversy was ostensibly damages for not performing for 1 year, but the relief requested would apply over a 20-year contract. And so you get into awkward relationships with the parties and with the administrative organization.
All right, so I can do that. A lot of that is going to fix itself in the terms of reference, and we'll get to that in the next part of this. Ernie.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Is that because they're trying to minimize what the value is on the pay, so it's to lessen their charges, their fees to the ICC, for example? Is that what's going on there?
That's it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not just the arbitrator's fees, but the institution has its own costs.
Yeah.
Aren't counterclaims considered as an aggregate part of the value?
Yes, counterclaims are considered an aggregate part of the value. And when we get to the terms of reference, you'll see that the ICC fairly well, unless it's clearly some equitable remedy that somebody is seeking and only that, they will insist on getting some monetary value placed on the claim and counterclaim. It is also possible, as long as we're talking about money, that in the course of the arbitration, even though the terms of reference, which we'll get to in a few minutes, will be signed and sealed and will recite certain numbers, you'll find out in the middle of the case, or as the case progresses, that what you're really talking about is a $50 million case and not a $20 million case. In that case, you should tell on the parties, you write the ICC case administrator, and you say, you know, look, this is here's evidence of the damages, because you'll have it in a document request or something of that nature, and you should reconsider the deposits that the parties are required to pay. And I have had several cases in which the ICC, in fact, reopened the process. They have their own process there to determine how much is in controversy, and therefore the fees, and they have billed the parties additionally. So always be mindful. If you are a party-appointed arbitrator and you get into that situation and the chair seems a little clueless about, well, it's a $60 million case, who knew, you know, and you're being paid on the basis of a $10 million case, there's no law against your leaning over and telling the chair, you know, why don't you write the ICC and get some more money, and the chair, he or she is not experienced, may say something like, oh, I don't know I could do that. Answer, yes, you can. So go ahead and do it. Other international organizations, the Dutch, for example, the Netherlands Arbitration Institute, and to a certain extent also the London Court of International Arbitration, will set an hourly rate. So when you get the call, you'll get the call from the Netherlands Arbitration Institute, and they'll say, look, this is the case, these are the parties. You've been asked to serve. Can you do that? The rate is 300 euros an hour. All right. And then you got to make up your mind about whether or not you're going to do it or not. Generally, of course, you'll say yes, because trips to Holland are always nice and you like the experience. But they will set that rate. The LCIA tops its rate now, I think it's $650 an hour, is that right?
Yeah.
So if you get an LCIA case, they can be very large, but your rate may be lower than the one that you would ordinarily charge. There's also what you should know, and then we'll move on, I guess, is the UNCITRAL. UNCITRAL is an acronym, United Nations Commission on International Trade Law. The UNCITRAL rules are often recited in ad hoc arbitrations. UNCITRAL promulgated rules and a model law that we'll talk about later on, and they're actually in the materials. The UNCITRAL model law will be at tab 5, and the UNCITRAL arbitration rules will be tab 6. The UNCITRAL arbitration rules were used at the Iran-U.S. Claims Tribunal, and after that they became in very common use. But the UNCITRAL is not a place. It's not like the ICC or the LCIA or JAMS or the ICDR. It is simply a set of rules and a model law. And the model law has been enacted by a great many countries. I have a list, but it's not attached to the materials you have. You can get it on the website. And actually, several states in the United States have passed the UNCITRAL model law. And they include, if for your information, California, Connecticut, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Louisiana, Oregon, and Texas. So the UNCITRAL model law is something good to keep in mind, because those are the state statutes that really govern arbitration in those jurisdictions. But the model arbitration law, which you can, a model arbitration clause, has the usual language about any dispute, controversy, or claim arising out of or relating to this contract, or the breach, termination, or invalidity thereof, shall be settled by arbitration in accordance with the UNCITRAL arbitration rules. And then you add how many arbitrators, what the place of arbitration is, and the language to be used in the proceedings. You'll see that, hopefully. And then you will also see an identification of an appointing authority. Because, remember, this is not a place, it's not like the ICC or JAM, so there's no administering organization. So you will have to put, not you will have to put, the drafters of this, you won't have to do this, you'll just be presented with it. But the drafters will have, in an UNCITRAL arbitration clause, they will recite who is to be the appointing authority. And in default, it's the... So the chief judge of the Permanent Court of Arbitration at The Hague, it used to be, yeah. And that person or organization they designate, it can be anybody. It can be the trial court or trial judge in the state of appropriate jurisdiction in the state of Texas. It can be the head of president of the New York City Bar Association. You can put anyone designated as the appointing authority.
But that, you may want to be sure that that person that is the position actually has the authority to do so. Mm-hmm. I had a case some years ago. It was a multi-billion-dollar case for a major oil company, and the default appointer was the chief judge of the Swiss federal court.
Mm-hmm.
No one had bothered to check to see if the Swiss federal judge actually had that authority, and in fact, at the time, he was barred by law from doing it. So they had an arbitration clause that was effectively null and void. And my firm spent a good deal of time being sure they didn't draft that clause.
There you go.
A serious problem.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you will see these clauses. The other thing I want you to look at, just so you're aware of it, is the JAMS. If you flip on 2.1, if you flip the page, you go on the back page, the JAMS International Model Arbitration Clause, and you should just be aware that we have a few things that are not in common use with these international clauses. It starts out with the usual, any dispute, controversy, or claim arising out of relating to this contract, including the, and here's a word that we have, formation, all right, interpretation, breach, or termination thereof, and here's a phrase which is not in everyone's clause, including whether the claims asserted are arbitrable, and that's to get into the doctrine of the Kaplan, Supreme Court Kaplan case, where the parties will be deemed to have unmistakably given to the arbitrators the right to determine their own jurisdiction, will be referred and finally determined by the JAMS rules, and then you've got all the usual things. But you should know that we have explicitly given the arbitrators the right to decide whether a contract has been formed, which is really an open question in the U.S. Supreme Court jurisprudence that may or may not pass muster in the last analysis, but it's certainly helpful to have it in the clause. And we have an explicit phrase in our arbitration clause that provides that the claims, whether the claims are arbitrable, is a matter for the arbitrators. That's not in everyone's clause. And I think that is what I have to say about appointment and disclosure obligations. Just to emphasize, be sensitive about the different compensation schemes that you'll be confronted with depending on the organization who is the provider for this. If it's an ICC, just to review, make sure you know how much is in controversy. If you've got experience, I'm pretty good at maneuvering the ICC website as I'm on the phone with someone. And if you go on the calculator, it'll tell you what the range of the fees that you will get for the amount of controversy. And if you want the experience, go ahead and take it, even if it's a small case. But be aware, you know, that the you're only going to be paid so much. And if you get a big case, that's wonderful. You'll be paid more than your rate and data. And be sensitive to the ad hoc cases. And don't get yourself in a bind and all of a sudden you get your compensation statement from JAMS and 12% is peeled off your hourly rate and you're wondering why. That's because it was an ad hoc case and JAMS will take its case management fee off the top. That you will still keep your time, in other words, still keep your timesheets, because at the end of the case, the ICC now as a general rule will ask you at the end how many hours you spent on the case, because they still have discretion in a smaller range, but they still have discretion about whether they give you the upper part of the range or the lower part of the range and or the middle, and sometimes that's based on the amount of hours you spend as well as the amount of controversy. So keep contemporaneous time records, even if you get an ICC. The ICC now sends a form after the case that asks the arbitrators their time, and it's divided into types, like how much did you spend, you know, up to the terms of reference, and how much did you spend in pre-hearing matters, and how much hearing time, et cetera, et cetera. I myself don't break it up that way. I just send an email and I say I spent a total of, let's say, 132.3 hours on the case. We at JAMS do not keep timesheets in that form. If you need more specification, let me know. And I've never had a problem yet.